Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway!
Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope, yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period. Y'all keep going. What you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Matt, welcome back. Happy Friday to you. Part one of two episodes you guys will be getting in your feeds today. Very glad to be back on the mics with you, man. Take some questions, but we've got to address the elephant in the room, man. The Bulls are on a bit of a losing streak here, and I don't know if it's going to end anytime soon. How are you, though?
Jordan, what's going on, man? What's up, Bulls Nation? Looking forward to the weekend, starting with the Bulls game against the Suns tonight. Or no, Utah, right? Man, my schedule is all over the place.
We got our heads pounded night by the Suns.
Right, yeah, okay. So we lost to the Suns on Wednesday. We're getting ready to play the Jazz tonight. Like, as you mentioned, a bit of a losing streak here. Between juggling new pieces, a hobbled Zach LaVine, and now a out and resting Zach LaVine, and this just gauntlet of a West Coast schedule, I feel like I've said this before, over the past week, but I am not at all surprised that the Bulls are losing these games. Hopefully they can turn it around. They do after this West Coast trip concludes, and then they come home to play the Nets on a Sunday matinee, so that'll be tough if the Nets are close to full strength, minus KD, of course. But like after that, there are definitely some winnable games on the schedule, and then you will hope to see this team start to gel with its new pieces. But anybody who thought that the Bulls were just going to trade for Vooch and immediately start knocking off Western Conference playoff-bound teams were kidding themselves.
Did you expect a loss because your guy, just as you called it too the other day, just as you called it, you go, that's over. I said, you know who's going to be shooting the ball a lot with Zach out, and sure enough, he did that. He went 8 for 18. Denzel went 8 for 18. Unfortunately, 3 for 9 from 3, and was chucking up some, I don't know, I guess very questionable shots in weird times.
Bulls is putting it nicely, Jordan. I sat here on this podcast and said, if Denzel has more shots than Patrick Williams at any game during the rest of this season, I'm going to run him over. And clarify that it was a hollow threat because I don't, in fact, have a car. But, oh, my God, when Denzel had 9 shots at halftime and P-Dub had 4, I was tearing my freaking hair out.
Denzel had the same amount of shots as Vooch. He was tied for the most shots on the Bulls team. Like, very strange circumstances, and the Bulls bench is a little weird right now. And without Zach, too, you don't really have a consistent score. Lowry played all right. He didn't shoot all that great, I didn't think. But the one thing that we could take away as a positive, man, Patrick Williams just absolutely grabbing the ball out of the midair. Like, that was beautiful to watch. That's just a glimpse of what we're going to get from Patrick Williams. And, man, he went 7 for 11, too. Like, this was probably one of Patrick Williams, outside of his scoring night, probably one of his better games, right? I don't even think he filled up the box score all over the place, but I know what did he score? 22 is his career high, or 25 earlier this year?
23.
So I would say that was probably his best game, but I mean, you could put this up there even with a loss. Put this up there, but the Bulls still can't find any way to stop anyone. They let Devin Booker drop 45 on them. It's not good, man.
No. And, you know, kudos to P-Dub for taking on yet another daunting task in his rookie season. He has been asked to guard some of the best and most lethal and versatile scorers and offensive weapons in the NBA already at age 19. And some of them have been wings and power forwards, where he's been playing more traditionally through the first part of his rookie year, guarding, you know, Giannis, guarding LeBron, guarding Kawhi. And we saw him struggle at times, but also show some pretty encouraging and impressive moments holding his own as a 19-year-old rookie guarding the best offensive players in the league. Devin Booker was a different beast because of the Bulls' lack of availability. No Zach LaVine, Kobe White's still out, no Garrett Temple. Donovan was like, all right, you know what? To hell with it. Let's throw this crazy big lineup out there. I'm starting Vooch, I'm starting Lowry, I'm starting Thad, and I'll play P-Dub at the two, and good luck guarding Devin Booker tonight. Obviously, it did not go great for the 19-year-old rookie. It's not like he's the first person that Booker has dropped 40 on. And I thought it was cool that after the game, P-Dub still put all of the responsibility on himself, saying, you know, I just let Booker get way too comfortable tonight. That's on me. I have to do better. I will do better moving forward. But I know that he soaked up every single possession guarding Booker on a night when it didn't go well for him. He still was everything we know about P-Dub, taking mental notes and learning. And it was also a cool note that he said after the game, yeah, Booker gave me a couple tips and pointers, gave me a couple notes on my game. Now that we've played them twice and are done playing them this season, he was like, yeah, Book felt comfortable kind of giving me a couple pointers on how I was trying to guard him, how I could do better moving forward. So, you know, a tough fight for the Rook. I mean, Booker is one of, what, three people in NBA history to have a 70-point game? He's that lethal of a scorer. What did you think was going to happen? P-Dub, hey, you're playing the two tonight and guarding Devin Booker. Good luck.
It's crazy, man. He shot 79% from two. He went 15 for 19. He went 2 for 5 from three. And he had 10 free throw attempts, too. He went to the line 5 times. Still dropped 45. Like, that's insane. You're not beating anybody. When their best scorer shoots 79% from two, I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of defense you have. You're not winning. Good for him, though. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, P-Dub accepting the challenge. Who else is going to guard him? Like, who else? If it was anybody else, Devin Booker probably dropped 60. That being said, they're going to have to figure it out because I don't know how long Zach LaVine's going to be out. And to be honest with you, I was just telling somebody else this. Like, maybe take the next week off, Zach. Like, we're already going to get our heads pounded in anyway, and maybe there's a little bit of a built-in excuse, too, and maybe the losing streak continues to go on. I'm very worried that maybe Zach will rush himself back because he wants to help snap this losing streak, especially if they lose this weekend. Just very worried that he's going to re-aggravate that injury, and we don't need that to happen, especially down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, if it would benefit Zach's ankle to rest it 6 or 7 days as opposed to just a couple, as much as we know Zach is competitive and wants to win, wants to lead this team to the playoffs, long-term, and this team's playoff chances might ride on Zach's ankle being close to 100% for their more winnable games down the stretch. So he sat out Wednesday. I'm guessing he's going to sit out again tonight. Maybe the Sunday matinee, because it's a matinee game and the Bulls are back home. Maybe that's kind of like a trap game opportunity for them to beat Brooklyn, especially if Brooklyn decides, oh, it's the Bulls, we'll rest a couple of other people because they've got players nursing various injuries. And let Zach sit out for that one too. And maybe you could even get a sneaky W there without Zach, and then bring him back, say, next Tuesday when you're at Indy for a Pacers team that is reeling. And that would give Zach 8 days since last playing, you know, earlier this week on Monday. Maybe that extra few days and a couple extra games off would do wonders for him and his ankle in the long run. And I'd be okay with that.
Me too. And I'll spin it even to a better positive. Maybe this is an opportunity for this Bulls team to try and scrape out a win without Zach. That would help some of the confidence of these guys, too. It's like, hey, yeah, we actually can win when Zach's not on the floor. Believe me, we want Zach to be out there, but we can actually pull out a win without him. It's not the, oh, man, here we go again. We absolutely need Zach. Like, that would help these guys too. So maybe that's what they end up deciding to do. But I think you're right. Yeah, there's just no benefit of him. Even if he's 90%, there's no benefit. If he's not 100%, he's not comfortable. Just the risk, just very, very, very scary to me. But again, maybe this is my old thinking from the first 3 years of the rebuild, and I don't need to think like this necessarily. But yeah, I don't know how they stop it against a phenomenal Utah team tonight, and so they're going to have their hands full. Just don't get blown out. I don't need to start my Friday off with them getting blown out, man.
Right. Well, hey, maybe they can get a full quality game from Lowry, building on the half quality game from Lowry we saw. Jordan, I want to get your thoughts on that. Before that, though, I want to tell you all that today's episode is brought to you by Sport Trade. Have you guys heard about Sport Trade? It's where fantasy sports meet the stock market. It's amazing. It takes fantasy to the next level. Sport Trade's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sport Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their values go. And two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always performing solidly. Instantly buy and sell as many shares in as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and sign up to get started. Sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com.
Today's episode is also brought to you by rockauto.com. rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, Jordan, you know that I've been struggling in my departure from Lowry Island over the last few weeks, even though he survived the trade deadline. And in a first game in a while where Lowry's playing and Zach is not, we saw a very aggressive Lowry Markkanen in the first half of the game against Phoenix on Wednesday. He was attacking the rim. He was ferociously attacking the rim. And he was looking to score in ways other than just launching his threes. Got to the free throw line a bunch early, had 13 points at halftime, and you're like, okay, wow, maybe it's a wake-up call. Maybe it's because Zach is out and Lowry is taking the responsibility of needing to produce more tonight and also taking the opportunity of being a bigger focal point of this offense, getting back in the starting lineup as well. And then the other thing happened that we see all the time from Lowry, because we often see, hey, really aggressive start for Lowry. There you go. 13 at halftime. Let's get one of those, you know, double doubles with 20 plus points from Lowry that we need, that we want, that we expect. And then he ghosted in the second half. 13 at halftime, finished with 16. How often have we seen that story play out? It was maddening. And I have mostly emotionally detached myself from Lowry at this point, thinking that he's probably not going to be here long term if he signs some other offer sheet this summer. But how freaking frustrating is it to watch that version of that guy just crop up every once in a while and be like, hey, remember me? Remember that guy that you fell in love with when I was a rookie? Yeah, I'm still here occasionally. And bye-bye, I'm leaving again now.
It was seriously a tale of two different halves, man. Like, we need to take some of the can we take a little bit of the confidence Denzel Valentine has in the willingness to shoot the ball and just give it to Lowry? Like, give him some of that.
All of it. Lowry gets all of Denzel's confidence.
I know this is a weird question to ask, but it's not something I've thought about recently, but does Lowry have any type of mid-range game at all? I know he can hit a little bit of an elbow jumper here and there, and the back down, like backing a guy down and making a move once in a while, he's okay at. Usually it's a guy that he's switched off and he's got the matchup size advantage wise, but anybody right. that's bigger than him, he's never, every time he tries to make a move, it's bad ideas.
Step, man. Yes. That's like the closest thing he has to mid-range.
The thing that scares me is that he starts to do the Nico Mirotic thing. And it was the thing that drove me insane. It was, just stand at the break of the three-point line and just wait till you get a catch-and-shoot opportunity for three. Or just wait in the corner and do that and just kind of watch. Like, we talked about this last year too, man. It's like, part of the reason Lowry isn't involved is, like, he doesn't get himself involved, but his teammates don't get him involved either. How many times did we say, like, Lowry goes 6 or 7 minutes without even touching the ball? That can't right. continue to happen. And that second half was a lot of that. Denzel shot 9 times. 9 times in the second half, Lowry shot 3. I don't understand it, man. But real quickly, about that weird lineup, do you think it had anything to do with like them starting Thad at the 3?
I mean, I don't know. I think the only thing that we know for sure is that Donovan, once we got all these new pieces in the trade, was going to experiment with a lot of different looks and a lot of different lineups. And even though the Bulls defense couldn't do a damn thing to slow the Suns down, at least they were keeping pace with the Suns through the first quarter and through most of this game because their huge lineup was giving the Suns some problems. So, you know, kudos to Donovan for being willing to try something that seemingly out of the box as far as standard lineups go. But as far as whether or not Lowry continues to fit into this team's starting lineup when Zach comes back, I think that will speak volumes as to where Donovan, where AK and Eversley are in their how much is Lowry involved or not involved with this team's long-term plans. Because if Zach was not taking a couple of games off with a bad ankle, before that happened, you saw, okay, we're going to give Lowry a start next to Vooch. Next game, boom, Donovan immediately switched it up and said, okay, Thad, you're starting with Vooch.
I saw some like meltdowns happening on Bulls Twitter, and I know that's like a daily occurrence, even when the Bulls are winning. Like a meltdowns that Thad was starting at the 3, and you're right, man. We said that. He's going to experiment. He's been doing it all season, even before the acquisitions. We saw some bizarre lineups out there. It's just part of it.
And I think Donovan realizes, like, after bringing Thad off the bench for a good long while this season, and his young, very young starting unit kept digging themselves holes, and then he would put Thad in, and then the second unit led by Thad would climb back out of those holes. Donovan's figured out now that Thad is one of the most useful pieces on this roster. So why not start one of the most useful pieces on your roster? And if you have to shoehorn him into the 3 for a couple of games, so be it. Thad makes the Bulls better. On both ends of the floor, he makes the Bulls run more smoothly.
He's what AK, if he could design a player like on a computer and just get them to spit out and play in their prime, like Thad is the guy. Like a guy that just moves off the ball, is super versatile, can play multiple positions, actually passes, rebounds, can get his own bucket but not always looking for it. Like he's like the perfect prototype of a player that AK loves, and honestly to all extents Mark Eversley likes players like that too, and they talked about being able to cut, switch, do multiple things, impact different areas of this Bulls team, and Thad's done a great job this year too. So I didn't even freak out about that either. It's like it's a weird lineup and the Bulls have some guys that are missing. It's fine. I don't think it was a detriment to why the Bulls lost. The Bulls lost because they couldn't stop anybody around the damn rim. But I digress. Again, we're going to probably see somewhat of the same. I hope they just come out and give the Jazz a little bit of competition. The Jazz seemed like they play up to their competition level, at least recently. They've dropped a couple of games, including one to the Pistons, too. So, I don't know. Maybe the Bulls can catch them on a weird night, but probably not.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if you put up 116 points, even in this season and last few seasons with all the three-point shooting and these escalated scoring figures, a lot of people betting on the over and feel comfortable about it. Not as much of an emphasis on defense for a lot of teams, and the Bulls certainly find themselves in that category right now. You put up 116 points, you should be able to win that game. But not if you give up 121, which the Bulls did, as you said. I mean, they just did not do much of anything to try and slow down the Suns, and I think Donovan knows that they have a long way to go on the defensive side. Jordan, before we get to a few more thoughts to wrap up about the Bulls' loss to the Suns and looking ahead to tonight's game against Utah, reminder, today's episode is also brought to you by who? That's right, your favorite protein bar. It's Built Bar, baby. We've been telling you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bars are amazing, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bars with 100% chocolate on all of their bars. Now, the votes are in, and the winner of Built Bar Madness, drum roll, Jordan, it's the Coconut Brownie Chunk Bar. I'm not surprised, because I've tried a lot of different Built Bar flavors, and that one, as I expressed to you, I'm not a big coconut guy. Even not being a big coconut guy, the brownie chunks in that bar, they put something in them that should be illegal because, oh my God, they're delicious. So congrats to the Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar on being declared the best tasting Built Bar of them all, winning the Built Bar Madness bracket. Reminder to all of our Locked On Bulls listeners, try these Built Bars if you haven't already. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Check back to see who won today's matchup. Oh, wait, I already told you it's Coconut Brownie Chunk, but try all of the amazing flavors that they have at BuiltBar.com.
Today's episode is also brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Right now you can bet on the NCAA tournament is down to its final four teams and looking towards a championship. So if you want to bet on college basketball, you want to bet on the NHL, which is going on right now, continue to bet on the NBA, bet on Bulls and Jazz tonight, you can do that. Go to betonline.ag, sign up for a free account today, and receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. They're going to give you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So you deposit $100, they're going to give you $50 for free. I'm looking at the odds tonight, Matt, and I'll be honest with you, there isn't a ton I love, but if you want to get in on Patrick Williams, maybe duplicating the performance he had against Phoenix, maybe getting a couple more shot attempts. If you think this Bulls game is going to be a blowout, maybe they do keep Pat Will in there for a little while, get his offense going. I'm looking at like 14 to 16 points at paying out 2-1. I think I'm going to go with Pat Williams to have 14 or more points tonight at just below 2-1 odds payout. So I like that. Otherwise, I'm probably going to be on a couple of Utah players to have a special night, including a dude that's been red hot, Donovan Mitchell. Anybody you love tonight in this matchup?
I don't know if I'm just sick of losing or I feel good about the fact that despite not having Zach LaVine Wednesday, they gave Phoenix, one of the best, most potent teams in the NBA, a good fight. And we're in that game until the end. But I look at that and I also was a little disappointed that I took the Suns to cover and they failed to do so. So I'm going the other direction. I think I might put money on the Bulls plus 12.5 tonight. I feel good about that.
I like that bet, too. Utah has been a good team in the first half. The first half meaning up until the All-Star break. They've been a good team at covering the spread. They had some ridiculous record, but of recently, over the last couple of weeks, they haven't been covering as much as they normally do. So that's actually not bad. You can parlay those at BetOnline right now. You can use that welcome bonus, too, to maybe make yourself a little bit of extra cash this weekend. Go to BetOnline.ag right now. Sign up for that free account and make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON to get that 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Last thing, Matt, before we get out of here really quickly, thinking about this Bulls team playing Utah and just continuing on this path, 2 weeks from now, say we're at a point where we're at 2 weeks and Zach has only returned and played in maybe one or two games. Let's say the Bulls have lost 13 of 15. Are you going to be a little bit concerned at that point? Would you be asking some questions about this trade? I see so many freaking out about saying like, oh, this team just doesn't look great together after making that deal just last week. And I'm like, part of me is like, what did you kind of expect? You know, we talked about this at the top of this week. Like, what did you really expect from this? Everybody kind of mad that Vooch isn't like a all-star defender. It's like, he never was. Even when we broke down the trade on Locker Room, man, we said Vooch isn't a, he isn't going to beat everybody. He's going to play maybe some average defense, but he's not going to be the rim protector you're looking for. He's there to score. I don't know. People seem to be overreacting just a little bit. I hope people still have some patience with this new team.
Overreacting a little bit. Wow. No, come on, man. This fan base overreacts to every single tidbit, every play, every quarter, every Twitter alert with a piece of news. I mean, it speaks to how passionate this fan base is, which is something that I know you and I appreciate greatly, because we've been sitting here doing Bulls podcast 5 days a week for the last 3+ years, and people are still freaking listening, despite this team's record over the course of those 3.5 seasons. But it also, it just means that we're all a little crazy. And when things aren't going well, when something good happens and then we want another good thing to happen, and then, you know, sort of like, okay, 2 steps forward, 1 step back, getting Vooch and all of the players that they got in those trades and getting rid of, in my opinion, a fair amount of dead weight from the current roster, that was 2 steps forward. And now you're going to have to deal with the 1 step back part of trying to figure out how all these new pieces fit and gel. And now, unfortunately, you're going through a brutal stretch of your schedule where your incumbent all-star, who's been leading you every night this season, averaging 28-plus points per game, is dealing with a bad ankle and had a couple of bad games dealing with said bad ankle and trying to play through it, and now he's resting. Coupling Zach's injury with all of the new things that Donovan and his staff have to deal with right now, Bulls fans who are freaking out and saying, I'm disappointed, I regret this trade already, what the hell are we doing? They are missing the forest for the trees. This trade and these trades were not just about this season. Yeah, it showed a direction in that, okay, we want to be competitive, we want to stay in the playoff race, we want to make the playoffs this year, as opposed to selling, right? As opposed to trade Thad Young, trade this guy, trade that guy, let's tank, let's bottom out, let's go back to the lottery one more time. There's that. But there's also the long term of, hey, man, Vooch still has several years on his contract. By the way, it's a decreasing contract. As in, like, he's making less money each year as he plays out his contract here with the Bulls. We'll see what happens with the Zach negotiations and whether or not they get an extension done or whether they renegotiate. But this is about so much more than the next 20 games and maybe making the play-in tourney this year. And it infuriates me that so many of people in this fan base can't seem to grasp that right now.
Think about one of the most dominant teams that has played over the last decade or so. That Miami Heat team at the beginning of the 2010s, even in their first year, man, they had a ton of struggles trying to figure it out. I mean, you don't have to go to that extreme, but every time a team is shifted over, you even see it when guys outside of being like superstars, where they're just going to go and get you buckets. Vooch is an all-star. He's a 2-time all-star, but would I call him a superstar? Probably not. And I think he realizes that about himself. A guy that's just, you know, a couple time all-star, he's better than the majority of the players in the league, but I don't think he would call himself a superstar either. I think people need to realize, like, the expectation was use the trade deadline to pick a direction. And they did. And that's totally fine. But I'm with you, and I said it on Monday too. I was like, I'm more excited, no matter what happens this season, I'm more excited to see what this team looks like next year and how Zach and Vooch play together next year. I know it seems weird to think about it like that, but anything that happens now, I think, is just gravy for a great season that we've already got, despite all of the struggles and the ups and downs and the team not looking so great in spots and looking great in others. I just think, like you said, all the moving parts, all the things that they're dealing with in the first year, like, I think a lot of people are forgetting, this is the first year. It's the first year that this is happening, so I'm not freaking out about the trade. Don't freak out as well. It's unfortunate timing with Zach's injury and the way that the schedule lined up for the Bulls right after the trade deadline. So take a deep breath. Maybe we'll recalibrate if the Bulls haven't won a game in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now, if the Bulls haven't won a single game, then maybe we start to have some serious conversations. But nowhere even close to it right now.
No. You know, those Bulls fans who have already given up on this trade being a good idea after 3 games... against incredibly tough competition and a hobbled all-star slash missing all-star, those people might be, you know, unsavable.
There's going to be people out there who will always just find a way to be unhappy about what's going on right now. Don't do that. Have a long-term projection on this.
Especially coupling this Bulls losing streak with did you see Wendell had like 21 and 15?
He's playing on a shitty
Magic Orlando's
team.
Win last night against the Pelicans. Like, I saw so many Bulls fans be like, oh my God, we let Wendell go. Look how good he is. Like, okay. Okay.
He's had those games here in bunches where it comes once every month. He has a 20 plus point game. Like, that's happened, and that's okay. We can be okay and happy for Wendell at the same time, be excited about what we got in return. Like, those two things don't have to be, like, you don't have to like one and not like the other, or have to be on one side and the other. Like, those two things, they can coexist. And that's how I felt about Butler to an extent. And that was more polarizing than anything else. But even with players leaving here, if it doesn't work out here, that's okay. You can still root for him and hope that they have success. I don't think it's a detriment to anything that this new front office or this new coaching staff is doing. So good for Wendell. I hope he does well. I hope a new change of scenery for him works. I hope it plays to his benefit. And same thing with Hutch and Daniel Gafford, too. So with that, I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. We'll have a second episode, a little bonus episode for you guys. We're going to take some mailbag questions, clean up our text and voicemail line. You can hit us up at 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Check out episode 2 following in your feed shortly after this. Have a great weekend. We will be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
This episode of Locked On Bulls was brought to you by Sport Trade. Making money with Sport Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher the value goes. Two, good old fashioned supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. Sport Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Simply go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and sign up to get started. Sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to lockedonbulls.com.
Thanks a lot.